Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Thanks for joining me on another show. My name is TJ Ryan, and this week we're going to talk to, well, actually, I really don't know that much about this guest. Actually, somebody sent me an email, a friend of mine, and said, check out this site. It's got all these different people promoting different things. And of course, I went to what was listed as the strange part of the, you know, guests that you can talk to, strange, unusual, unknown. And Jim Maroney's name came up. Now, Jim is in Calgary, Canada, talking to me today. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing wonderful, DJ. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm calling from Escanaba, Michigan. Do you know whereabouts that is? Any idea?
I do, actually, because I used to live in Sarnia, Ontario, which is obviously just adjacent to Michigan.
Mm.
So
I but you've been
lived in the state of Michigan and did a little bit of venturing into that state. So
what, you're a Canadian? You lived in Canada most of your life? Or?
I have, actually. Born in Canada and lived in Canada all my life, actually.
You know, and Canada, I've been there, but it's, to me, it's just a little too cold. But other than that, it's incredibly beautiful. It's really beautiful.
I hear about the cold part. I woke up this morning, we had snow on the ground. Oh, my God. I'm like, I'm not ready for this yet.
Now, you are an author. I mean, that's one of the things you do. But what else do you do, Jim?
I'm the executive director. I'll call it my main job. I do lots of different things, but my main job presently is executive director for a health and safety organization that manages safety programs and systems for the entire province of Alberta.
No kidding. Yeah. So you got a real good gig, and then you're writing about aliens. So that's
yeah. They don't seem to go hand in hand, do they?
So what is the name of you have a book coming out, right? Or a book is out already?
The book is out already. It's called The Extraterrestrial Answer Book, UFOs, Alien Abductions, and the Coming ET Presence.
Wow. And is this something you based on, I mean, where do you get research on this? Or have you talked to people, interviewed people?
Well, what really stimulated me to write the book was actually my own experience, which took place in 1987. And it's a really unusual experience, but what it did is it set the groundwork and kind of crystallized certainly my understanding about the phenomenon, because up to that point in time, I didn't have a clue, really, about the UFO phenomenon. I didn't really read a lot about it, or, you know, I probably, like a lot of people, I thought, you know, there's probably aliens out there somewhere, there's life in the universe, but I really didn't give much more of a thought than just that.
Right. I would think, you know, until you have an experience, and that's what happened to me with several weird things, if you want to call them weird things.
Yeah,
that happened to me in my life, made me start to look a little more deeper. And then you meet a lot of people that have had similar stories. And, I mean, do you have some of that in your book? What is your book based on, then?
Well, my book is really based on my own experience. And then what I did is extrapolate from my experience what I understand about the UFO phenomenon to this day.
Okay.
And it's different in a lot of ways, because I don't believe I'm following what I'll call the general genre of how the UFO phenomenon is being portrayed. And again, I have really not been encumbered by a lot of bad information. That's the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. I really had to look at my own experience and use that as the cornerstone of my ideas about the phenomenon itself.
Well, we got to find out what your experience is, because did you get beamed up? I mean, you're talking about something must have happened to you. How old were you at the time?
I was 28 at the time, and in fact, I actually was abducted.
You were abducted?
Yeah, I was abducted out of a truck stop, of all places.
Really?
Yeah. And
where was this truck stop?
This truck stop was actually pretty much smack dab in the middle of Canada. It's just outside of a city called Winnipeg.
Okay.
And it was off a highway, which is Highway 1, and we have the Trans-Canada Highway in Canada. Goes from east coast to west coast, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I was driving from Edmonton, Alberta at the time to Sarnia, Ontario. I was going to actually cut through Michigan. In fact, I was going to bounce down south of Winnipeg and then maybe skirt through a couple of states and go through Michigan and get to Sarnia, Ontario. But I stopped in Winnipeg and pulled into this truck stop and had, you know, an abduction experience. Didn't remember all of it. I just remembered certain portions of the experience itself. And then a couple of months later, I garnered the courage to go and have a essentially a hypnotic regression and recount, you know, more parts of that particular story or that particular experience.
Okay, so let's just, first of all, before we get to the hypnotic part of it, can you recount what you remember? I mean, at the truck stop, that part of it right there, just from your regular memory.
Sure, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version of it.
Okay.
But essentially, I thought that I was trying to sleep in this crazy, I say crazy car, but I'll call a 1987 Civic, you know, when you're driving across the country, the most comfortable vehicle in the world to actually be sitting in. But at the time, it was all I could afford, really. You know, you're 28 years of age, you're just really trying to get yourself into the workforce and stuff. So I thought, you know what, I liked the car. It was a great car at the time. I was sleeping in the passenger side. I was by myself, and I had put back the seat of the car. And I thought at the time that it was just another transport truck that was pulling into the truck stop. You know, I didn't park my car in a hidden area. I actually parked my car in front of the truck stop and pretty much in view of the diner from where people were dining. And I thought it was a truck pulling into the truck stop, and then I realized that the lights were actually moving over top of the car. Now, I hadn't opened up my eyes. I mean, you're trying to get some sleep. It's 2:30 in the morning. You know, you're not going to open up your eyes and look into the headlights of any cars or vehicles. Mm-hmm. And but then, you know, immediately I realized, oh, my God, you know, something's moving over top of the car. And there wasn't any sound at all. There was no sound, no
humming. Now, you weren't alone in this truck stop, were you?
I wasn't. There was lots of other truckers around.
How did they not see this?
Well, yeah, this is the million-dollar question. There was another transport truck that had actually pulled in right behind my vehicle, which blocked the view of my vehicle to everybody else in the truck stop that was actually there in the dining room area.
Hmm.
And yet, still, I mean, obviously a craft of that size, they would have been able to see something you would imagine, but I don't know. Maybe it was cloaked or something like this.
Okay.
Who knows?
Okay, yeah. That's what I was going to ask you. All right, yeah. So then you're in this vehicle. You see these lights. What happened next?
Well, this incredible paralysis overcame me, and I couldn't move. I couldn't scream or anything like that.
And you know you were awake.
Oh, absolutely. I was completely lucid, 100% lucid, more awake than I've ever been. Absolutely terrified too at this time. I mean, I was just I was freaking out. I was just out of my mind, and my background's in science, and I was working with the government as an occupational health and safety inspector, and I found myself sometimes in dicey situations, and I tried to use whatever I had in my training to try and cope with what experience I had, and I said, you know what, Jim, just try and remain calm and try and take in the information that you can. And I recall the RPMs of the vehicle that was behind me, this transport truck, as I could hear his engines. And I could just sense that there was the RPM change in the engines, like they went down lower. And that all this, and also the air sound, it felt extremely dense, the only way I could describe it. There's the entire air essentially changed. I'm not saying by smell or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as if the density of the air changed. And I could also feel the hairs on my arm. I guess I'm a hairy guy, so I could feel the hairs on my arm actually rise. And so I assumed I was in a really intense electromagnetic field. And obviously it was from the propulsion system or whatever this craft was using. And then I had really bizarre... The whole story is a little bit bizarre, to say the least. But I could actually have a sense of an echo of myself screaming. I don't actually remember screaming, but I could actually hear the echo of it. And it's just a weird sensation on that. And I felt that I was in a different position. And then the next minute, next blink of an eye, I'm back in this vehicle, and the craft is moving from left to right. and within seconds it was gone, and absolutely silent.
Now, was there anybody else traveling with you at the time?
No, I was just by myself, actually.
Wow.
And so I got out of the vehicle, and the transport truck was still there. I walked around the transport truck, and I walked into the truck stop. And, you know, of course, you're running through your mind, like, you know something unusual happened.
Right.
You know it had to involve, like, an extraterrestrial craft of some sort. And then, I walk in, and I look around, and everybody's calm. Nobody's mm-hmm. jumping around and screaming or anything. And I'm thinking, well, okay, go to the washroom, clean up, look at myself in the mirror, come out of the washroom, and go, and what in the hell am I going to say? You know, like, am I going to do, like, what in the world could I say? So I actually decided not to say anything to anybody.
Yeah.
I stayed a few minutes in the truck stop, and I thought, well, I can't stay here all night. You know, I felt better in the company of people, but I thought, you know, I got to get going. You know, I wasn't going to go back to the car and sleep. I checked outside, and the transport truck had moved. And I could see my car, so I said, you know what, time to grab a coffee and get on the road and start driving again.
Mm.
And that's essentially what I did till about 6 a.m. in the morning. I was so exhausted that I finally pulled over and slept. And I felt comfortable sleeping during the daylight, but not so much, you know, sleeping at night.
Now, is that the only time, Jim, that you think you were taken?
No, actually.
Okay.
I think that it was the only time I really remembered it to that point, but... since then, I've had a few experiences, you know, very short experiences,
mm-hmm.
and nothing really, you know, super big to write home about, but I've had a few experiences with these beings.
Okay, we got a few more minutes before we get to break. So I guess the burning question is, what really happened under hypnosis?
Well, yeah, what really happened is that this was actually a really carefully orchestrated event by these beings. The truck stop where they selected me, and even the amount of memory that they allowed me to have. And I've come to understand these beings as not being the bad guys. You know, they're really not.
Do you know what, can you describe what they look like?
Yeah, actually I can. I both saw them through, I've seen one and a few others, I suppose, in my lifetime when I was completely lucid, and I've also seen them obviously when I went through hypnosis. So what these beings look like is essentially typically the ones that you see on TV, except that their eyes were blue. They had blue pupils, actually.
Right.
They didn't have those black almond eyes. They had pupils.
But they're not big eyes? They're not big eyes like
that. Oh, yeah, they're very large. They're about...
small, kind of a big head, but a frail body?
Yep, absolutely. And a very frail neck, actually, as well. Too.
And 4 feet tall, some of them, somewhere in that neighborhood?
Well, they ranged, actually. They ranged from probably 3.5 to 4 feet to a couple of them were around 5 feet 2 inches, 5 feet 5 inches. And I even saw two beings that were similar structure and everything else, except their size was probably closer to 10 feet, just two of them that were.
Do you get a lot of people, Jim, and this is not meant in any way to slight you, but you get a lot of people thinking you're loony at all, Jim?
But, man, you know what? If you're not, you know, if you... going to step out and make these types of claims, you have to realize just how ridiculous it might sound to some people.
In 1992, and we're going to get to more of your hypnosis. In 1992, I went to bed at my mom's house in Norway, Michigan, and I had read in some book somewhere that, you know, you can, through self-hypnosis or basically telling yourself things as you go to bed, you can bring forward things. Well, one of the things I wanted to experience was a visitation from these kind of beings that you just described. And I woke up, and it was in the middle of the night, and it was like maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. I really don't know the time. And I looked over the corner of the bed, and on the left-hand side of the bed was a gray, if you want to call it that, with the big eyes and the small, and the big head and the small body, maybe 4 feet tall. And this thing actually glided instead of walking. It actually glided across the room over to the right side of the bed. I had paralysis. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe hardly. And then a thought hit me, and it said, if you have no intention of harming this being, it will let you go. And I said, no, I don't want to hurt it. I thought, I didn't say it. I just thought, I don't want to hurt you. I want to see if you're real. And at that point, I was able to start moving my arms and my chest, and I could breathe again in my head. I couldn't move them a lot, but I could move it a little bit. And then I was out. And for years, I thought, okay, it's just a dream. I was very lucid when this happened. But you know how it is. You're gonna probably try to dismiss things away. And I've come to learn that I don't remember dreams unless I wake up right after. And I didn't wake up from this till 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. And it was very clear, crystal clear. And I guess that's how I can relate to what you're saying. And not say, he's loony, everybody. Jim Maroney from Calgary, Canada. We'll talk some more in just a moment. So what do you think so far? Is this really loony? I mean, I've listened to a lot of programs, maybe some of you have, where people have talked about being abducted, and I've never quite heard it put this way. Although I have actually had one of my early shows, maybe my first or second one, talks about, I'd interview a couple on this site, and the woman was taken. And she talks very similar. And she came away with a very similar belief. And isn't it amazing? Somebody that was right in my own backyard that I talked to. And now here's a guy in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And he's telling a similar story. I find it very interesting. And I really believe I'm going to talk to this man again. Because I want to hear what he has to say. And he's not trying to preach it to anybody. So some very familiar things that I've heard, but also some things I've never quite heard before. I find this very interesting. Hope you enjoy it. Coming up also next week, I have another friend back in the studio. There were some things that have happened recently, and they should be fun to talk about. A little weird, maybe a little creepy, but I'll bring my buddy Dan back in. And we have a couple of things we want to talk about. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Jim Maroney, and I'm author of The Extraterrestrial Answer Book. My website is AUFOSG.com.
It's out there, out there, out there, out there.
His name is Jim Maroney, and his name of his book is The Extraterrestrial Answer Book. Like you have questions, right?
Yeah.
What do they like? Do they have personalities? What's their favorite color? Those kind of things, right? And Jim is he's living in Calgary, Canada. I'm sure he's very well respected with his job that he has. I'm guessing you have people you talk to this about and others you don't?
That's really, I have to separate it from the professional job that I obtain. You know, I'm obviously it's kind of risky going out and going public with this kind of information. So I've been very aware of the risk that I would take about going to write the book and stepping out to be more in the public eye. But I felt that it's consistent with kind of the work that I do, and that is a lot of it's on education and training.
Right.
And I thought, you know what, there's so many people out there with so many questions, and there's so much bad information essentially associated with this subject that I thought, you know what, so I have to step forward and at least make an attempt to educate people about
talk
what
about
I
your own experience. Well, let's get back to your hypnosis. You realize these beings, they're not out, they're not the bad guys. I think that's kind of where you left off.
Yeah. And but of course at this time I didn't have any clue if they were or they weren't. You know, I didn't know anything about them essentially.
Right.
So I find myself essentially, this is after in the truck stop, I find myself standing beside my vehicle and staggering, essentially, with my left hand on the hood of my vehicle. And I'm looking around, and to my astonishment, there's four non-distinct human, you know, non-distinct alien beings in front of me, non-human. And I was really upset with them. Because apparently, getting in onto the ship, or however they did it, it was actually painful. And
really?
Yeah, I was upset. Mostly, really, frankly, I was scared. And I wanted to tell them, hey, man, you know, you hurt me. You don't have a right to do this. What are you guys doing? You know, you should have left me there. I was really upset trying to, you know, I don't know, kind of stupid, actually. I'm powerless, and here I am screaming and swearing at them and everything else. But again, I was frightened, and I didn't want them to hurt me. So one steps forward, and immediately calms me down. And so I went from almost, you know, losing my mind and being angry and upset to instantaneously being calm.
Hmm.
And so what was happening is that they were able to project some kind of hypnosis suggestions, and then I would immediately respond to most of their suggestions, essentially.
Did they communicate by talking or by thought?
Strangely enough, they actually communicated to me by verbal. They actually spoke English.
You could see their mouth moving.
I could hear them auditory in my ears. It was just incredible. I mean, they didn't talk a lot. You know, when they wanted to say something, they spoke very short, very, very short. Mm. Like just short sentences, you know, very clear direction about what to do.
Did you sense any emotion on them?
I did. I did. Absolutely. They were not just portrayed like non-emotional beings. They are actually emotional beings.
Hmm.
They essentially led me through parts of the ship, and I underwent a number of medical procedures. And what was astounding to me, just absolutely astounding, was the fact that the vessel itself was constructed clearly with the intent of dealing with human beings.
Why would they take you?
Well, this was a question that I've been having to basically work with over the last few years, and it's a complicated answer to that one. But I'll do my best. Essentially, what we're dealing with here is an intervention.
Really?
Not an introduction.
Hmm.
And these beings have decided that they're going to intervene on the behalf of trying to save humanity, essentially, for something that's going to be coming up in our future. And what they've decided to do is keep a very low profile to give us an opportunity to come to the understanding that they exist, and then to try and sort out for ourselves, essentially, what they're doing. I don't know if they really want to. Obviously, they've decided not to explain everything to me about what they're doing and why they're doing it. Other than that, they're trying to help us.
You don't believe because the popular notion is that they're kind of crossbreeding with us.
Yeah. Well, that notion, when I first heard about it, upset me a little bit. But the more I thought about it, the more I'm thinking, well, maybe there is something to it.
Okay.
And I'm only going to state this because when you're dealing with an alien species that's coming to this world, it's portrayed that it's a relatively easy thing to do. You know, in other words, interact with us.
Mm-hmm.
And really, this is anything but the case. We have all kinds of different viruses and bacteria that exist within an environment that likely does not exist in any other world. And that means that if you're going to be dealing with human beings, you're also dealing with the fact that we have an atmosphere that's probably different, all these other things, all these other factors.
Right.
So is it possible that they decided one way to interact with humanity would be to create beings that are somewhat hybrids that could actually have an easier time interacting with us and the environment?
Mm.
Scientifically, there's a good reason to go down that road if you could do it. So maybe they are doing it. So
it's just that you hear
an evil intent. It's just the way they see the world or the way they see the universe.
You know, I've read so many accounts of people before this became popular, you know, that talked about under hypnosis getting sperm or egg removed or.
Yeah.
And so you wonder, is it valid? And I think anytime you hear from a person that's not trying to seek attention, they're just trying to explain their side of it.
Yeah.
I tend to listen to that a little bit more. I mean, I guess none of us really know 100%, do we?
No, we don't.
And there have been some that have claimed they've been actually shown their children.
Yes.
And you didn't have any experience like that. Here's little Jim Jr.
Yeah. Oh, my God, child support. Yeah.
I'm going to pay it in another galaxy. For I wonder what they take over there, what kind of currency, what works over there.
Yeah.
So you felt that these were loving beings, would you say?
Absolutely.
That? Okay.
You know, in the end, it was orchestrated. It was really carefully orchestrated. You know, in the end, one being had stepped towards me and asked me, and I was recuperating on a table. I think I'd blacked out or passed out, and she asked me if why I was angry, and the more I was confused because here I am just coming up, just kind of like waking up on this table, and I'm like, what do you mean? I'm not angry, you know. And she asked again, why are you angry? And it was a very stout type of question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, what? Oh, yeah, when I got on the, and when I got on the ship, I was yelling at everybody. And she stepped forward even more insistent and said, why are you angry? And I went, and I tried to say, I'm sorry, you know, I just wasn't expecting it to hurt. Now, the reason why I was doing this way, and the reason why I approached it, was because I realized early on that I was in way over my head. And the best chance of me even surviving whatever this was to just try and communicate with these beings and not be confrontational with them. That's how I adopted, you know, this whole, I guess, my approach to actually dealing with them.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, as I was just trying, as I was thinking this and just trying to say it, all I got out was, I'm sorry, and I just suddenly broke down bawling like a baby.
Mm.
And this being, and the reason why was because this being emanated this great love and compassion from her. A love and compassion that I have never experienced with any human being on earth.
Right.
And as she held me, she said, it's okay to cry. The strong ones cry.
Really?
What she said. Yeah.
Wow.
And then we spoke after it took me some time to get my composure, and I don't recall ever crying that hard. And it was essentially just letting go of all the stress of the experience and what I've undergone. And then we spoke at some length, but regrettably, even through hypnosis, I wasn't able to recall everything that we spoke about. When I left the ship, I left like these people were friends. I would describe them as really close friends.
Hmm.
And there was a sense of sadness and a sense of joy in some sense, but it was a mixture of joy and sadness.
Wow.
And I realized I had to go back. You know, it's like, it's okay, guys. You know, I have to go back. And I understand a lot better now. Like, I understand, you know, I understand you guys a little bit. But so what they were doing, they were trying to figure out who I was as well. You know, they approached it very carefully. They laid out everything, what they needed to do and how they needed to do it. And they wanted to find out, you know, who Jim Maroney really is. You know, what kind of a person Jim Maroney is. That was important to them.
Now, why would they choose you as opposed to somebody else?
Yeah, I don't really know. I think that the best way I can answer that is that it's not me, as in the point that they're choosing us. The experience itself, when I wrote the book, it's not about me. You know, if it was all about me, I don't think I'd need to write a book, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
What I really have come to understand that this whole phenomenon is about all of us. We're all in this together. And just because I remember it a little bit sooner than other people, or was allowed to remember the experience, is unusual, but not completely unusual, because other people around the world are remembering and types of experience.
And some people won't remember. Some people won't remember hardly at all,
or anything. Yeah, they won't remember absolutely anything. The power that these beings have in reducing your memories or covering your memories up is so incredible that it's completely plausible that there's millions of people out there that have had these experiences that simply just don't remember them.
You know, the experience I had, and some people could debate it and say it was all just a dream, but I felt the being that I interacted with had compassion, had love for others. I just sensed that. It wasn't there. It could have easily hurt me if it wanted to. And, you know, also I picked up that it had the ability to kind of control me with its thoughts. Did you pick up anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, completely consistent with your experience.
And there's so many people that have said this, don't you think, Jim? All over the world.
Yeah.
And again, like you say, there's probably those that are trying to, there's a lot of disinformation with anything, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I love talking to people. My show is about people that have had firsthand experience. Now, you could make something up, and I could put you on my show, and who knows? Who knows, right? Anybody could do that.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I guess those that stick out their neck for this, and those that aren't usually making a ton of money doing this, you got to be doing it because you want to get something out, like the truth, unless you're just seeking attention, you know, which I'm guessing you're not trying to do that, Jim, are you?
Yeah, you don't go into this to make money, you know, obviously you get a little bit more media attention, but really you don't make money on this at all, and it does put your career at risk. I mean, I'm not going to be going into politics anytime soon or anything along those lines. So I realized that by doing this, it would restrict my movement within my career and probably jeopardize, you know, any chance of me finding employment on a similar type of level, essentially, right? So, but I'm very, obviously, I'm good at my job, and I felt very comfortable in my job to be able to go out and do this. In fact, I actually had to speak with somebody from the board of directors and let them know that I was, you know, producing a book, and I explained it to them as a hobby. So I said, if it's okay with you, you know, it's kind of a hobby of mine, and that's how I left it. Obviously, it's an extreme passion of mine. I didn't go into all the details.
Now, Jim, do you feel that there are other races besides this one visiting us?
I'd have to conclude that they are. I mean, I don't have the experience of dealing with other races, but if one species is certainly here, then I'd have to believe that other species
are. Do you think there are some that maybe aren't as friendly as this group?
All of them are difficult to deal with. Maybe yes.
Maybe yes.
Maybe yes.
Like anything in the universe, there's got to be the good with the bad, if you want to call that, the alpha, omega, whatever, the yin and the yang.
Yeah, maybe. And I think, but it's unlikely. I would say that I would probably define it more that there are species out there that are much more difficult for us to interact with.
Okay.
That's the way I would probably.
I guess my question should be, do you think the species, if there are more than one species visiting us, do all of them have our best interest in mind?
I would say right now.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
You think all of the ones that are coming to us do?
Yeah.
Okay. Of course, you've only had the one experience, right?
I've only had the one experience, so this is, you know, I don't know for sure, but I would have to say the safest guess at this point in time.
So what are they trying to keep us from doing? You're saying that they're trying to get us to see things differently. Are we destroying ourselves, our planet? I mean, what is the concern that they have?
Their concern is the fact that, from their point of view, that humanity is... has been spiritually retarded in its development and growth.
Really?
And that the technological development has exceeded our spiritual development, which has created an imbalance. And that imbalance is going to unfold within our lifetime.
Really?
And so they've decided to take this kind of, you know, action. I'll define it as that. And it's a very unusual type of action, and I think that none of us were really expecting this to happen this way. I think science was expecting contact to happen in a different way than what it's happening today. And it's become evident that, you know, we're really struggling at this point in time to understand how this relationship is going to unfold in the future. But it's evident to me that undoubtedly these beings want a relationship with us. They want an intimate relationship with us. And they are seeking individuals currently that they feel that they will have a better chance of a relationship with.
No kidding. And some of us could be those people and we don't even realize it.
That's exactly it. And it's all about timing as well, too, in your life. You know, they don't want to upset you to the point that you're not functional in life. They believe that what you do on a daily basis is really important and that you need to remain grounded. You need to take care of your life and your family, your kids, deal with all the health ailments that you would deal with like anybody else. And they think that's important, but on a grander scale, they're quite concerned about whether humanity is going to survive. I think we're going to, but I think it's going to be a very, very tough bout over the next probably 30 years.
Now, Jim, you talked about spirituality. Do you belong to a certain religious belief or understand?
Well, I was born and raised Roman Catholic, but I've come to understand that it's changed. I think my belief systems have changed over the years. I think that I think that all religions have something to offer in spiritual development, and some people have portrayed some religions poorly. Yet, like every religion, it can be used and manipulated for bad things, essentially.
Right. So you wouldn't classify yourself as anything right now?
No, I wouldn't. Not really.
And
I believe that we're all human beings that are spiritually connected to each other, too, and also to the Creator.
And what in fact,
these beings see us as really an extension of the Creator, just in a different expression of the Creator. So they don't see themselves as superior in any way, which is really unusual.
Because look what we would do. Look what we would do as a society, right?
Yeah, I know. We're still struggling. We're still struggling trying to find a way for peace.
You know, we have the upper hand on somebody, maybe not so much Canada, but the country I live in, tends to look and do things a little differently. So...
Yeah.
I think that's awesome that you've come away. Anything else you want to add? We've only got a little more time. A couple other things you want to touch into?
Well, essentially, I think that the best way to describe what's happening in the phenomenon today, and I don't believe we're going to get to a point where we're going to say, oh, you know what, we have all the answers today. You know, even though I wrote the book, The Extraterrestrial Answer Book,
right,
I've only tried to answer the most fundamental questions and obviously left a lot of other questions open to interpretation. But I would certainly believe that these beings are going to unveil themselves more, I'd say, less discreetly, probably a better way to describe it, and more commonly in the coming years.
Mm.
And it's going to be something we're going to have to deal with both as individuals and as governments. I'm not sure governments are going to be in a position to actually deal effectively with this phenomenon.
Do you think the governments know?
That's a really loaded question. I think some governments know, but I think there's a lot of people in both countries and both politics, you know, and that don't know, that have not been briefed on this subject. But I think certainly the military people, there's clear evidence that they are aware that there's a phenomenon out there.
Do you think, now, I've heard the speculation before, that there's been agreements with governments?
No. Flatly, no.
Okay.
The reason is from my experience, there's such a vast difference between us and these alien beings. I just cannot believe them coming into
Why would they have to?
Yeah, why would they have to? They don't have to. I mean, they're already not respecting airspace,
right?
They can come into homes. They can do anything. Do they need to get into an agreement? If there's an agreement, it's a pretty poor agreement because we're still sending up fighters to shoot them down. So, you know, it's not the best agreement in the world.
Yeah, but so. It's not a 50-50 deal, is it?
Yeah, apparently.
Well, Jim, it's a real pleasure talking to you. And, you know, I'd love to do this again if you don't mind sometime.
Absolutely. I'd be excited to do that.
Because it sounds like you have so much more. But it's really cool that you have this experience and you're willing to share it. And, you know, as far as I know, it's the truth, and I guess I won't know until time passes, right?
I think that's the case, and I'm hoping that we all have to have our own hearts and our own minds to deal with this very controversial subject. And I think that my hope is that reason and rational thinking will come to the forefront, and we'll be able to tackle this in a better way.
What is your? You have a website? Do you have a website at all, Jim?
Yes, I have a website. It's called AUFOSG.com.
Okay, and again, the name of your book is called what?
The name of the book is called The Extraterrestrial Answer Book.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin McLeod.